Well, you know, you gotta start this podcast, you know. Welcome to Two Have Podcast. I'm the director, and with me is Blurdog.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yeah, so pretty much, have you been watching Avatar, The Last Airbender on Netflix?
No, I haven't gotten to it yet. But I've heard good and bad things about it.
Well, I watched all 8 episodes, and I think this podcast is going to just be talking about it. Rather, you know, I don't know how at the end of this will make you feel, but I'm pretty sure you could partake in it. I mean, have you seen the cartoon?
Yes.
Okay, then you're definitely going to be able to partake in it. This is mainly just overall book one. So I had to try to, because watching this live action, it just reminded me of episodes, because I remember watching it as a kid, and you know, whenever Nickelodeon or a cartoon's on, you know, you watch it, and you just watch it, you know, there's a lot of talking and stuff. But I did not see the movie, so I can't compare nothing to the movie. But what I'm gonna say, you might be able to compare it to the movie, and of course, it's the cartoon. Wait, have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I can't remember anything of it except that it was just a terrible movie.
Okay. So, yeah. But overall, what I have to say is that this Netflix adaption, like, if I had to put it, like, compare it to One Piece.
Yes.
It's like, I still would say One Piece was up there. Like, better, still the top tier. And that's when the creator was heavily involved. I felt like Avatar was, we're going to take 100% of the storyline from the cartoon, but we're going to cut some stuff out, and we're just going to change with a slight change. A slight change.
Okay.
Now, you would think that wouldn't mess it up, but it still did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I guess the acting was not on the same level as with the storyline, but it was still, like, when you're watching it, you're like, okay, this is cool live action stuff, but then sometimes you were like, I might as well just watch the cartoon where it's more information. Now, the thing with One Piece for that live action, what was different about it was it had the same arc and stuff, but you learn more of a character that wasn't shown a lot. For example, in One Piece, the cartoon, we just learned about Luffy and that whole thing going on. Have you seen the live action, like all of it, or?
No, I still only seen that first episode. I forgot to go back to it.
Okay. Well, with Luffy, you're focusing on him and stuff, but with this live action, you're focusing on Luffy, but you're going to get more information about the grandpa and what he was going through. So so you learn more about, and Kobe, you know, you learn more about what was going on. So it was like, it was still new, but still you understood what was going on, but like a different perspective. Like, okay, let's see the perspective of the Marines and see all this going on. So that's why I was like, okay, this makes sense, you know. That's why I found like it was that One Piece was interesting and vital to watch it, because it's another layer of information of what's going on. Probably something that Oda wanted to add in, but you know, with him, you know, writing and stuff, and you know, budget people are like, we want this and stuff, and he's like, oh, well, you know, more information. But with this Avatar, it was like that, and it was more just from the cartoon, and then changing it, giving a more serious tone. And it's like cosplay. Now, I say like cosplay because everything is so nice and crisp.
Yes.
I know I watched something on YouTube where they were like, usually it should show that it's rare and tear, but this is just crisp, just like nice and just, you know, like, like, you know, they're coming out like with the perfect swag and everything. So so it was, it had that. Aang was more, I mean, Aang was flying, So it's rarely used. He rarely used the stick or the glider, whatever you call it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But he was flying.
So he was flying himself without the glider.
Yeah. There's two scenes with it and then two not with it or stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it just sometimes you're like, wait a minute, how are you flying without that stick? But okay. All right.
So I guess he got more control of the wind bend, of the air bending, huh?
Yeah. And in the cartoon, Aang is all like, ha 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 ha, right?
Yeah.
And this one, he's like, we have to do something, guys. We can't just stand here and do nothing. It's like, what? What kind of Aang is this?
Oh, wow. So he's a little more serious. So he's a serious Aang.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know how the movie was, but...
The movie, if I recall that part, I believe he was also serious in that movie. But like I said, I can't remember too much of that movie because it was just... I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. But it kept my... grass over it, the live action. It actually kept me going and like watching each one because, you know, some people did their parts well, like perfect casting for the Fire Lord and Iroh, whatever, you know, the uncle.
The uncle, yeah.
Yeah, perfect casting for those two guys, man. Those is perfect casting. And like these are actual, you know, actors, you know.
Yeah.
The guy who played for the uncle, Kim's Convenience Store, and then on Star Wars, you know, Mandalore. The guy who played the Fire Lord, Hawaii 5-0, and a bunch of other stuff. He's a good actor.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was good. I mean, who they cast and stuff. For the kids, I don't know. I mean, except for Sokka, Sokka. Yeah, Sokka. That was a perfect casting because it had the bland face. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude. But
no, he has the bland face. I'm even looking at him now as an actor. He has that bland face.
So it fit well with the character, yes, and he was having that attitude. So it fit right. Okay. Katana, or is it? Did I say it right? Katana.
Katara.
I didn't care for that actress.
I mean, I didn't even care for the character, really. Yeah. Even
the Aang, so. I don't know. This Aang, it felt like, you know, when you watch the cartoon, you're like, okay, Aang, what are you gonna do or this time? And then the movie, you're just like, what's wrong with this kid and stuff? Well, I mean, by looking at the trailer, but this Aang in the live action, I felt like every time he talked this stuff, it's like, kid, shut up. You're not. I'm sorry. And like, he always talked. And I'm just like, God, I'm like, gosh, man, just shut up. Stop. We're friends, you know. We can't be that. We stick together and we help each other. Shut up! He's about to whoop your butt. You was gone for 100 years. Maybe you were protecting yourself. I understand it, man. I understand both sides. But everyone lost family. You just woke up.
Yeah.
But I lost the air people, bro. It was the comet, man. If the comet never came, I don't think the airbenders would have got wiped out.
Yeah, I mean that's I guess that part kind of did happen in the anime, like, or an animated series, because he didn't have, he was locked away for 100 years. All he knows is what, 10 years of his life, really. Yeah. So I get that. I mean, unless he was like, you know, Negative Nancy type, then it's like, okay, that's kind of annoying. If you had that bubbly personality like the animated series, then and saying all that, then that's, I have no problem with that. I had no problem with that in the animated series because he was kind of like that, how you're explaining it now in the live action. But I'm not sure how his, you know, how his attitude was in the live action.
Yeah. It's just, whose attitude? Sorry, I was...
Aang.
Yeah, yeah. It just, the kid is just, I don't know, man. It's just...
Maybe it was just an overly bubbly personality in the animated series to why it didn't bother you.
But now, yeah.
Now that you're seeing it as a live-action kid, it's like, you know what, kid, just shut up.
it's just that. And then, I mean, the only one who was, I felt was good was Zuko.
Zuko.
He was the only one that I felt was like, yeah, because I expected him to be bratty and like mad and always wanted to do something.
Yeah.
I understood that. So, but man, every time Aang came in, it's like, come on, dude. Everything's all right. This is all my fault. Bro, you flopping back and forth. I know what I must do. That's, it's just, some of these is just, Ahsoka was good. I was because with Ahsoka, I was like, I need to get annoyed by this person, and he started to annoy me. So I was like, okay, he's playing his role. It's good.
Yes.
But Aang was just like, just stop. What are you doing, kid? I have to do something. Yeah, you do. You're the Avatar. You're supposed to help bring balance. Oh man, the set was good. They knew how to do the green screen, like I'm sorry to bring it up to compare, but you know what I'm comparing. Yeah, now.
They know they did it better than Ant-Man. My favorite movie. Yes, I know.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
Yeah. It's hard for me to believe they did it better than Ant-Man 3.
Because they were able to do, like, they were together, but it felt like they were actually in, like it made it seem like they were in one good little part, and like all the other parts are like bad, like you should not be over there. So yes. It gave it that vibe. But with Ant-Man, mm-hmm. It gave it where they're all like, in that one place, but like everywhere is good. You could be anywhere.
Yeah, it just felt like they were in one. They really felt like it was in one big room.
Yeah. And so
maybe they took some tips from John Favreau for Star Wars, Mandalorian and stuff.
They did. They definitely. Probably the uncle was like, you're doing it wrong. Don't be. man. Who else? Azulu or Zula? She. In between. I'm indifferent. Like, in between. I have nothing against that. Some of the Avatar that they had, like, I don't know, it was weird. The Avatar was good casting. Like, the previous Avatar where he was talking to other people, they were good casting. I was like, how was this good casting? They really did it. Like, it was just, it was good. Like, it was up to it. Perfect casting for the previous Avatar. So I was like, okay, that's good. That makes sense. But I mean, yeah, it was good. But overall, that it was good. The fire bending was good. The earth bending was good. The water bending, a lot of CGI, but good. And then what else? The air bending, good. It was good. It was not bad. So I would say, Avatar live action was just, and it was good to watch. I mean, it was, you can get through it. It's not like, it's too much. You can get through it. You can watch each
episode. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. What else? Yeah. Is there background noise?
I do have a little background noise. One second.
Yeah, and for other people out there listening to our podcast, watch the Avatar. You can definitely get through it. I mean, it's 8 episodes. Just watch the first episode, and I'm pretty sure you'll keep going on and on and on and on. But it's good. You watch Avatar stuff. But other than that,
I plan on watching it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So out of this is a big debate, but I don't know. We can try to figure this out. But out of the four nation, and I know you watched the cartoon, so that's that's what matters. Who do you think is the strongest, and the and which nation is the weakest?
I think the air nation is the strongest.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were about to say the air nation is the weakest.
No,
they're the strongest.
I was about to say. No. I think they're the strongest.
Yeah.
But. And I want to go with water, but you know, the earth is 70% water.
Yeah. And then,
then you got the earthbenders.
Yeah.
They're pretty strong. And fire.
I guess sometimes it's default as like water or something like that. Yeah. But I want to say, honestly, I feel like I want to say fire is the weakest. I want to say that. And I know it's a bold thing to say, but I feel like the weakest person is the person that actually wants to kill and get rid of you because you're a potential threat. You know, yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because
you need air for a fire.
Yeah. And like, pretty much, they had to wait. You know, of course, you know, it makes sense that, you know, you can't mess with the air nation. Air nation is strongest because they have to wait for a certain comet to come so their powers are enhanced. So they can take them out. They couldn't go on a normal day and just like, yo, let's just wipe out the air nation. Yes. No, you can't.
Exactly.
They had to wait for that comet to come by and be like, all right, it's time to go now. We can't lollygag. We can't do nothing. We got to do a whole attack. And plus, they were just attacking the air nation, just the air nation alone. They didn't worry about no other nation. They was like, we're going after the air nation. So you knew they were the potential biggest threat.
Yes.
Like, even if it was like, I don't think even if the Avatar was there, I think they'll still go to the air nation first. And then they'll be like, okay. Or they'll try to figure out something to get rid of that Avatar if it was in another, either in water or earth. But
yeah.
They were like, nah, we gotta get rid of the air nation stuff. And it killed all the air people, which I was like, yo, y'all literally extinct and stuff. Yeah. But
I would go air, and then I would go fire just for that, the fact that they are intimidated by air. And then you think about it, you know, water can put them out, and even earth can put them out, you know.
Yeah, like with a lot of rock and stuff like that, because it can cut off the, you know, oxygen, and the fire can go off and stuff. I mean, to be honest, I would not say earth is the strongest or the weakest, because you can kind of build yourself a house or protection and stuff.
Yes. I actually got earth is second and water third.
Yeah. Water is, I would say water is tricky because you can turn it to ice, but you can still thaw it out. But I think one thing is what will push water up above earth is if like everyone could do blood bending, because when that happened, I was like, yo, but then again, if it does blood bending, don't you think earth can do that too with the metal bending? Cause you know, there's metal and you know, or iron, you know,
yeah.
Blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know, it's that little thing back and forth, I mean, metal bending, that's when I saw that on that episode. Yes. I was like, yo.
Yeah,
she metal bending. She bending metal. Wait a minute.
Magneto popped up.
Yeah, she was like, it was that episode where she was like, there's still earth fragments in the metal and just microscope or something. Like, so I can bend the metal. I was like, wait, what? I thought it was just always earth. But you know what? Metal is of earth, so it makes sense.
Yep. There are metal earth fragments in.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Yes. But what out of the four air Ben out of Benny. Which one would you do? Which Benny? Which element would you want? Or, you know. Yeah.
I mean, air seems almost like a cheat code.
Well, you gotta go bald headed. I hope you know that. You gotta have an arrow on your head.
Yeah, you gotta have an arrow on your head and bald head. I mean, I'm already bald, so I'm not too worried about that.
Uh-huh.
But air is a cheat code. I actually like earthbenders.
That's what it's just, what's crazy is, like, you know, this is what I noticed. I know everyone said, like, you know, they did like nationality for the whole thing, because I think someone told me, like, it was like, it's like, you know, Air Nation is supposed to be, you know, the monks, Tenzins and stuff.
Yeah.
Fire Nations, you know, China, which I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. You know, it's China.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, Earth Nation was South Asia, you know, like Indians and stuff around there. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then water, well, you already knew our water, you know, indigenous people, you know, natives, you know, Eskimos stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, I was like, let's literally look at it at like actual race, where it's like, you know how there's white, black, and Asian, and what's other? Oh yeah, Mexican. Now, one, I still will put Asian people for fire. I don't care. They still own with the fire, to be honest.
I think of fire, I think feistiness. So either black people or Mexicans.
You know what?
Then
we'll go with Mexican, because every time I ask a person about like what kind of bending or something, it's always a black person saying earth bending. And I'm like, I think that's black people, just because I go with earth bending too. So I think we're all just black people, just like, we're just earth. So, so that means if the you know, Hispanic people, you know, the culture, if they're fire, then that means, and by default, Asian people have to be air, and then just white people got to be water.
Yeah, white people got to be water. Yes.
Because, I mean, it makes sense. They're on boats and stuff, so, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah, they're the only ones that's brave enough to go on boats and live out there.
Yeah, and so, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you might as well have, if you do it that way. But, yeah, that's what I always thought. Like, every time black people, you know, they're always like, earthbending, earth. It's like, what is it with just us just going like, nah, we just earthbending?
I don't know. I think it's just the fact that it's just so cool to just kind of, I guess kind of throw things, like just kind of pick up the dirt and just toss it and just do whatever. I think that's, I don't know, just something about that imagination of just bending the earth, bending trees or whatever, and just kind of throwing it, kind of like Magneto, how you just do it the metal and just throw stuff and use it.
Yeah.
Use solid objects to, you know, for attacks in defense.
Yeah. I want to say that Bex will be just a firebending.
Firebending.
What do you think? She can't defend herself.
Yeah. I mean, what, waterbending?
This is either fire or water. We do not accept.
I mean, she in her defense, she did say her favorite character was Toph. So,
she may go with earthbender. Then she joined us. She's earth. We're all earthbending. We're the earth nation. So, we're no one to mess with, earth nation. But yeah, overall for that avatar, and like, to be honest, did you ever see Legend of Korra? Because I did not watch it.
I did not watch that one, though. I didn't watch it.
Okay. Yeah, because every time when I see, like, I noticed something where I was watching, I watched a little bit of the first episode of Legend of Korra, and I noticed. Before, apparently, you know, they're like, think of it like the first world and the second world, or whatever, or you know, or period change and stuff.
Yes.
I noticed that and this is with Naruto. So like Naruto and then Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're all like, you know, lamps and using things and such. Or, you know what I mean and stuff? They're uh-huh. they're more old school, more tradition and stuff, right? And yes. then like when they come with like Boruto, and then of course you got Legend of Korra, apparently they have modern technology and like buildings and stuff, and you're like, wait a minute, that have you noticed that? Like they'll do a whole shift change. Like they just yes. now modernize. Cause when I was watching that episode of Korra, it was like they had buildings and then there was cars and steams and electricity, you know, and everything just, you know, just all this stuff. And I'm like, how y'all get so advanced? And it's just like with Naruto, when they made the shift, you know, Naruto, they just outside just fighting, right? You go, yeah. you come to Boruto, this guy got a Game Boy in his hand, and you're like, wait a minute, how'd this happen?
Exactly.
So that's why I'm like, what I notice is that technology just skyrockets, and they're like, okay, we're going to do a second season or something, or another series, but modernize.
Yeah, it was only just one generation. It wasn't yeah. like, it wasn't like it was four or five generations later. It was like one generation. You got technology. It's like, okay, when did this happen?
Y'all just skyrocketed.
As smart as Orochimaru was, he didn't even have this kind of technology.
Exactly. I'm like, how do y'all get so advanced or just start yeah. changing stuff? Just yeah. so it just happened so fast. Because yeah. the thing is, the people who were there before are still there. They should be gone. Yeah. And, you know, they're like, okay, you know, time progressed. They're like, no, we still here, man. Before yeah, it was yeah. just, we just didn't have, it's like, imagine like for our generation, it's like you go back to the biblical ages and then you change and like, all right, we got TV. And like, exactly. you know, some of the people are still like Peter or, you know, or some of the disciples are still around. Like, yeah, I remember when there was none of this. Like, wait, no. it took time.
yeah. Yeah. And that's what, I guess in The Legend of Korra, from what I've seen, it seemed like it went maybe two to three generations.
No, wait.
Because Katara is the grandmother.
Yeah, because, yeah, she's a grandmother. So okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It at least went like two generations.
Okay.
So that would make sense. But one generation or just like, I mean, well, that's pretty much like how Naruto had it. It yeah. would pretty much be like going from, jumping from Gen X to Gen Z. It was like,
yeah,
that's how quick the technology happened on Naruto or Boruto.
My thing is that there should be no character still alive if they, you know, they start advancing. Because if we talk to our grandmother mm-hmm. or grandfather,
yeah,
they had electricity back when they were here. Like, yes. to be honest, they had electricity. Mm-hmm. It yes. wasn't like the boom, all this stuff going on, but yeah, they had yeah. electricity. They had cars. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, maybe stuff wasn't ready, you know, or stuff. You know, there's still something where it's still there. Like the only,
yes.
you know what I mean? It shouldn't be like, we don't have no grandparents or someone, oh, that was like, I remember when we had no electricity and nothing. Exactly. We just light candle. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think it's just, you know, that going on and stuff. And like when the electricity was like invented or, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, going mainstream, it took a while for it to start, you know, spreading out for everyone has yes. it. So yeah, I'm just saying, you know, one or two or let's just say a decade or not a decade, sorry.
Legend of Korra seemed like it was like at least 4 or 5 decades went by.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, Katara was a grandmother. And her son was fully grown. And she had like two or three grandkids or something like that.
I need 100 years to pass, at least. And the main character has to be dead or
Yeah,
or frozen again. Frozen again, and then they come back. It's because if you think about it, if you really think about it, Aang was supposed to be the Avatar.
Yes.
And last for what? Like an average span of what? Like say maybe until he's what, 80, 70 years? Or maybe he'll die in a heroic battle. So like 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So he should be on... So there was something. There was something I was watching on Netflix or whatever, the Wire or whatever. They asked like different questions, and they was and they asked the cast. Like the cast was acting like they knew everything and stuff like that. Whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or something, you know. Which you know, but these are all the kids and stuff, and they were like, "Do you think Aang broke the cycle?" And they was like, "No, he didn't break no cycle. He's an Avatar." And they tossed it, and I was like, "Bro." He did. He froze for 100 years. He threw it off. Because they say, you know, when an avatar die, it goes for the next one, the nation. He threw off the cycle because it took a gap. It was 100 years gap.
Exactly. 100 years gap before he had any kind of other avatar.
Because he held on to it like at least... How many cycles do you think he held on to the Avatar? Because I would say maybe at least minimum 2 years. I mean two Avatars. Like he took for his Avatar and the next Avatar. He took that next one.
yes. At least 2 years. At least two generations of Avatars.
Avatars. He was supposed to be just one avatar, and he was supposed to save them for that generation, but he was just frozen for 100 years. Yes. Now, like, depending on when these other avatars died, wait, you know what? When did these other avatars die? You know,
I mean, the other avatars look older when he, I guess when he kind of saw them. So I guess you can say one. And a half, I guess, because you can probably say, you know, there would have been him.
Wait.
And then another kid, maybe.
Yeah, wait, I back up. Hold on. Let's say the avatar average or something, or age or something. Let's say maybe, let's just go with just something, because he broke the cycle. 50 years. Let's just go with that. 50 years, right?
Uh-huh.
He actually broke the cycle for 3 years. So it went back to, so when it came back, when he got unfrozen, I think there was supposed to be another, like, cause you know, he took two avatars lifespan. Let's just say that.
Yes.
So, you know, so he took one, and then once he got out of the ice, that maybe it was supposed to be a third avatar or, you know, the after him. And stuff, because he'll go through his 50 years, and then like say he died heroic, then the next 50 years another avatar, and then when Aang actually gets out of that iceberg, we should be on a third avatar. but Aang is still an avatar, so he's taking. So at least two avatars he has taken. So yeah. Oh man. So when I saw that, I was like, yo, he did break the cycle. Or he just postponed it. Cause they went 100 years with no avatar. No avatar whatsoever. No hope. The more that I think about it, the more I'm like, this is messed up. This avatar is stupid, man. If I think about it, it makes me hate Aang even more. Or not hate him, but dislike him. Like, it's just like, wait a minute. Like, I'm not mad at the point that, you know, him being gone, that many people died. He just actually took some other avatar role, to be honest. At least there was supposed to be, at least after Air, it was supposed to be what? Fire or earth or water? No, water was supposed to be next or something. So or unless what's the saying, because Legend of Korra was after Aang, right?
Yes.
Okay,
after Aang.
So he actually took the water, the avatar. So he took that. And so pretty much, I think they're supposed to be on Earth, or maybe it's supposed to be on fire when Legend of Korra starts. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how this will work, but Aang broke the cycle. He did. He did. But I guess, you know, he broke the cycle. I don't care. When you freeze someone, you're just not supposed to be in that generation.
Yes.
You're not supposed to be. Because he's 112 years old, but he's still a kid. So from that point, you're like, wait a minute. No. You should at least have a 401k or had one already. You broke the cycle. You there's a glitch in the cycle. This is something not right. You know, if you want to, we can just blame the Fire Nation for throwing off the balance. Did they ever, I can't remember book three or season three, but did they get back on, did they get back on balance? Did they get back on track, or did they was just thrown off?
I think they got back on track.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they got back on track on book three.
Man, that's crazy. That is actually crazy. He did broke the cycle. When the cast answered that, I was like, these cats, I can't. And then one of the cast said, like, did Aang learn, or was Aang the first to learn metal bending? And I was like, what the? And the actress girl said, no, Korra was the first to do metal bending. And I was like, okay, hold on, let's back up. Are you talking about avatars, or are you talking about the first metal bender?
Yes.
Because avatar, okay, Korra, but first metal bender, Toph invented it.
Pretty much.
Didn't she? So that's why I was like, I don't know. The cast is really just making me cringeworthy. So the cast, real life, they're very cringeworthy. I'm not going to lie.
So apparently there was 181 avatars before Aang. So how much of a cycle did he really break? Because that's a lot of avatars, 181.
He broke the... He didn't break like the before him, because they all died natural stuff.
Yeah, they all died. What I'm saying,
because he froze himself. So I didn't know you could freeze yourself. So he froze himself. So from that, he also learned him saying, "I don't know how to water bend," and then all of a sudden you freeze yourself for 100 years. I kind of look like water bending, if you ask me. Look like you just learned that just all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, and they didn't explain is it Toppa? That giant that giant animal that be flying, bear. They didn't explain because he was like, "Oh, where's my whatever?" And he just blow the whistle and like Toppa comes out of nowhere to help fly. And I was like, I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. And I remember in the cartoon when I was watching it, Toppa was with him when he went into the iceberg or did that whole thing. So they both lived through like the 100 years, but they made it where Toppa was still Appa. They made Appa was like, he was still just traveling around. And I'm like, this guy actually lived 100 years. Why is he still around? So unless they correct that, but in the cartoon, it shows Appa coming out of the ice too, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. The avatar, I say give it a chance. Watch the first one and then let me know,
okay?
Because it gets you, enticed you, because you're like, you're watching more. who else? It was the Fire Nation. They did the spot on the Fire Nation was the best casting ever. I don't know why, but they did some good casting for the Fire Nation because the guy who played the general or what's his name? I forgot, but you know who I'm talking about. The you know
yeah,
the
yeah, one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
It was played by the guy who was in Rush Hour, where he was like, where Chris Tucker said, "Hey, get up, you're dead." Or,
oh yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. Oh, that yeah, line.
Watch yourself off, you're dead.
Yeah, watch yourself off, you're dead. Yeah. Yeah, that guy, that guy played the general. And I was like, yo, he's doing a good job. Because that's all I know that guy. Like, I know he was off of other stuff, but every time I see him, I'm like, isn't that the guy when Chris Tucker said, hey, watch yourself, you're dead. But yeah. The guy who played Fire Lord, that was good. That was funny. And, you know, some of the things, you know, it was good. It was good. Fire Nation was good. Even though I find them to be weak, they were still good and stuff. The Earth Nation was like, it was boring. Earth Nation was boring. The most boring.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Even though it was interesting and stuff, but I guess it's because there wasn't no main character, you know, focusing on that. It was just Earth Nation. That's all. So that's what I feel like. And like, other than that, you know, Aang going back to his village. So he's like, But going, you know, Super Saiyan, wanted to destroy stuff. But
yeah.
Other than that, you'll enjoy it. And like, okay. a lot of Asian cast. A lot of Asian cast.
That was their intention.
Yeah, I didn't see not a black person. And I was like, you probably seen a black person just walk. I don't know. Now I'm trying to remember. I'm like, I don't think I've seen any black people. I don't think there's any black people.
Well, no, I don't recall. Well, on the live action or the anime?
The live action I'm talking about. Because, you know, live action.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any black people in the live action. I don't think so. I don't think there was very. It was kind of. Now that I think about it, I did not see any black people in there.
Well, like, I mean, it was in the Asian country, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have white people and stuff, but you can definitely see white people. But I meant, not as like cast member, but like just walking, like background, you know, background, okay, just, you know, black people and stuff. I don't think I've seen that. So,
you got Portugal.
No, I might have to type in and be like, were there any black people in the Avatar Last Airbender? At least just a background. Like, I don't care I don't care for a lead character. I know none of them were, but like for a background, because I was like, if there's not, then I'm gonna be like, wow. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not. You know, I'm not typing it in right now. I'm actually curious because I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to remember. Did I see any black people in? Let me see. I had the. Sorry, I have to figure this out. I must know.
So yeah, so I'm going to enjoy, or I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy it. I still have to finish up One Piece, and right now I'm watching a Shogun. So Shogun's on FX. Okay. That's a pretty good show, you know. It's, I guess it's based on a novel and based on the original limited series. So far, so good. Two episodes.
Okay.
And so that's a pretty good show. That's a good watch.
So this is what I have to say. So, Shogun. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
But in the Avatar, I couldn't find none. I couldn't find none. I was like, no black people, so they did it. They did, or whatever, did us dirty. But you know who didn't do us dirty? One Piece. Because you gotta watch a certain One Piece to see that they definitely did a race swap. They definitely did a race swap, but Oda actually made it work. Made it work, which I was surprised that it worked. It was, you know, Nami, her sister.
Oh, yes.
They made her black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did it.
Yeah, that can work because she wasn't really her sister. So
yeah, and it actually succeeded. So, I was like, yeah. I was so amazed because, you know, I was like, oh, shoot, this is not being good. But I was like, oh, it's actually going well. All right. So, that Avatar.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can do a race swaps on like live action stuff because there's some shows like The Walking Dead. Yeah, there's a couple of characters that was actually white in the comic books, but actually are black characters or Hispanic characters. In the show.
Yeah, my thing is just have them as background character. I don't care. Just have some black guy walk in the back, so at least I know they're like, okay, I can exist in this universe somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they could have added that in the background. In the crowd, you know.
So
have a little dispersed of black people in the background.
At least with the Earth Nation, like even if there are some light Indians, we all know there's some dark Indians, and I know there are some dark Indians that are darker than black people. So where are they? There are some Indians who are darker than black people.
Yes,
and so At least have like a dark Indian, so I could be like, hey, is that a brother or is that Indian? I don't know, but hey, at least there's some representation.
Exactly. At least they put a dark skinned brother over.
Yeah, or there's potential.
Yeah, there's a potential. Yeah, they put a dark skin in there. So hey, I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much that, but watch it and you keep on going and watching this stuff, and you know you like this stuff. It's up.
Okay.
But yeah, it was like, yeah, but other than that, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I know it's probably going to pique your interest because of the clip that I saw, and there's somebody that kind of talked to me about it at work. What? I guess for wrestling, The Rock, Bloodline, that pointless story.
Oh man, that's just.
Oh man, I was like, yeah, this is really desperate.
Which one? Was it him joining the Bloodline or him saying wrestling is cool now?
Wow, so now he's a Viagra of wrestling now?
Yeah.
Because he was the box office Viagra. But now he's the wrestling Viagra now.
I think they're just because like with him be like, because it was like my thing was this, like knowing The Rock, when he was like, when Roman Reigns said, Rock, I just need you to do this, just this, acknowledge me. Yeah. I was like, you sealed your faith, Roman. You're gonna get rock bottom either on the first WrestleMania night or the second WrestleMania night, either one. You getting rock bottom.
Yes.
Knowing The Rock, he ain't gonna acknowledge. Even if you're.
Even if you stand, he'd acknowledge you. If you not know his history, he will. He, you know, if he plays the villain, he's gonna turn it back on you.
Yeah. To be honest, and him always saying, like, I'm all about family. I'm like, you didn't do that with Rikishi. Exactly. Remember that storyline? I don't know if you watched wrestling during.
I did watch it at that time. Yes,
it was during the Attitude Era.
Yeah. And, I watched it. That was the last one I watched. That was the best.
It was the one where Rikishi helped The Rock in a match against Stone Cold, and The Rock was like, "Shut up, Rikishi! I did it for The Rock. Shut up!" I was like, "Hey, isn't that your cousin? What's going on?" So
I know, right?
So for him to do that to that dad, and that was one of the Uso twin daddy. So for him to do that, he does not care about
family. He doesn't.
He cares about his father, his mother, and his grandparents. That's all he cares about.
And his daughters. And because he apparently didn't care about his family on set, Fast and Furious family.
But
he's going back to them for now.
Because with that whole pause and stuff, even when he said like acknowledge me and Rock is still paused, I'm like, you're getting a rock bottom because you know that's a twitch. It's not like Rock, I need you to acknowledge me. I acknowledge you, Tribal Chief. No, it took a long pause, and I was like,
it did. Yeah,
you getting rock bottom. Cody's finishing his story. you can't mess with The Rock, because on top of that, too, remember when, Hulk Hogan, everyone cheered him, everyone. And then when he left, he's a part of WCW with the NWO, a different side of Hulk Hogan. Amazing. WWE buys WCW, so now Hulk Hogan is back on WWE. And it's The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. Why did The Rock still have the biggest ovation? Like, you would think Hulk Hogan would, even though maybe some people grew out of wrestling stuff, but still, they're still a wrestling fan that still kept the stuff. But like, and Hulk Hogan being a bad guy, that raised his career even more. But everyone was still going for The Rock. So I mean, The Rock is the biggest box office. I mean, our time and stuff. But one thing I want to say is, I think The Rock has something to do with merchandising and stuff, because I feel like they could have merchandised him a lot just how they did with the Hulk, like Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. But I think probably Rock wanted the money or something, so that's why he ventured off to maybe acting and stuff, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But because with Hulk Hogan, they were merchandising everything out of Hulk Hogan, to like just underwear and stuff. Other than that, I don't know what else to say. I mean, Rock is gonna rock bottom Cody Rhodes. I mean, not Cody Rhodes. Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Either night one or night two.
He's gonna rock bottom the whole bloodline. that's what's gonna happen. He's gonna end up rock bottom the whole bloodline.
He's gonna rock bottom Paul Heyman. He's gonna rock bottom Jimmy Uso. He's gonna rock bottom Solo or whatever. Dude, he was clowning Solo in the ring. He was like, "We'll even have Solo do a solo in front of everybody in front of WrestleMania." I was like, he was clowning Solo. So Solo wanted to get at him. And I'm like, aren't y'all cousins?
Yes.
I can definitely see it. I can definitely see it where The Rock is teaming up with Jey Uso against the Bloodline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's family business.
And then rock bottom Jey Uso.
Yeah, it's just rock. Everybody getting rock bottom. We need someone to rock bottom somebody, because we can't get Stone Cold. Stone Cold knees are blown out.
Yes, his knees are done.
His knees are blown out.
Yeah, his knees are done. I'm surprised he was even able to wrestle as long as he did. Both knee braces, man.
His knees blew out.
And I just had one knee brace, and I was like, wow, that's cool. He was able to wrestle.
Hey, how did Stone Cold knees blow out and the Undertaker still have Well, I'm saying it has no kneecaps, but
yeah,
but he don't have no knee brace.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I can't with Stone Cold. The knee brace, bro.
Both knee braces.
Both knees.
That is wild.
Oh, because he be doing the stutter. I was like, I didn't know the stutter was that bad on your body.
All right. Yeah, I thought it was bad for your opponent. Apparently, it was bad for you, too.
Man. You should have stuck to a rock bottom move or a... you look at Randy Orton and he learned you fall on your back, not on your knees, bro.
Exactly.
Oh man, both his knees.
Triple H was the one that was really falling on his knees,
but he never had no knee braces. Well, he got surgery.
He had surgery. So he had tore his ACL and everything. So
he was tearing everything and stuff with the pedigree.
Triple H really needed the braces. He really needed the knee braces.
He probably was like, I ain't no stone. No, I'll take the surgery and take the injection.
Yeah. Stone Cold walking around with torn meniscus.
And it is on the video game. It becomes a necessity. Like, cause you know how you like play the video game and like this is so good. It's like, do you want one knee brace or two knee brace or no knee brace?
Man. Yes.
And sometimes I'd be like, I'm feeling kind of one knee brace today.
Exactly. It's a one knee brace day today.
Yeah. Oh, two knee brace. Yeah. Man, out of all Stone Cold thing, it was just one knee brace or two knee brace. You know, with Kane, it was like mask on or mask off. You're like, all right,
yes,
understood it. But it was Stone Cold. It's just
Stone Cold.
One knee brace or two knee brace. Stone Cold.
Yeah,
I didn't know they're.
Yeah, and the thing is, we didn't even question why you're walking around with just one brace and then two knees. It was just like. Okay, we just saw the one knee brace and the two knee brace. We just ready to question.
We knew, but we didn't know.
Yeah,
we knew it was there for a reason. It wasn't. We didn't think it was that not there for just style. We knew it was for a reason.
Yes,
because when they said it on set, they were like, "Oh, you got a knee brace on." You're like, "Oh, it makes sense. Got it."
Yes.
he blew out his knee or something. But yeah, Undertaker has no kneecaps. He has no kneecaps with all his tombstone. Because it was like they were showing in like surgery. They was like, we're going to put this in your kneecap. And it was like some silver mechanism. And I said, Undertaker ain't got no kneecaps. He literally has no kneecaps. That is wild. Man.
Yeah, it is.
That man is a mechanic now, man. You got to oil that up.
Yes. And what's the name? The one that shocked me that's still walking around. And I'm pretty sure he's walking around hurt. It's Mick Foley. Stuff that he went through. Hell in a Cell. Cage matches.
See, it's like the people who do the slightest one gets injured the most. But someone who does the most is like, I'm still walking and still having a nice life.
Yeah,
it's like, how you still walking? But that is just nothing but the grace of God. It's just having him just be like, I'm just perfect. Like you, you had surgery, but this man is just perfect, man. What the heck? Yes. It's just walking around.
Because by now, I thought he had some kind of complication by now. I'm pretty sure, you know, he's aching or whatever. You know, can't really walk straight, but and his body hurts, but he's still in like one piece.
Yeah.
After all the stuff that he done went through, getting thrown off the top of the cage, onto the table, through the cage. Man.
Yeah,
Mick, that's just impressive to me for Mick Foley.
I think there was one time where Undertaker talked about the story where he threw Mick Foley off the cell. Uh-huh. And he said that when he threw him off, he said it was weird because it was slow motion when he was falling down. Uh-huh. And he said it was weird, but he was like, when he threw him off, he saw him falling down, but he also saw it in the view of him falling. so he could, like, because he said he's like, I kind of saw myself just falling. Or something.
Yes.
Like, and like he had the view of him watching him fall and had the view of Mick Foley view of falling, seeing him up himself up there. And I said,
looking up at Undertaker.
And I told him, I didn't tell Mark, or I didn't tell Undertaker. I wish I could tell him because I understood what he said, because I had that experience too. But that's when I was preaching and stuff, or not preaching, but I was testifying. But it was sounding like I was preaching. But when I was talking, I felt like I was watching over myself, but I was, you know, talking and saying stuff, but that's how I felt like I was seeing. And I was trying to, you know, when Undertaker said that, Mark Calloway, when he said that, I was like, no, you know what? I was just going to say this. It's pretty much God was showing you what's going on, and God was showing what you just did. Even though Mick Foley was like, throw me or whatever. It was showing, like, look, so you could see what you really look and how what you become, or stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, he said it was, you know, weird and stuff, and I was like, nah, man, that's God showing, that's Jesus showing you, letting you know something. Yeah, because he's a Christian person too. He go to church and stuff. So I was like, So
Christian man from Death Valley. How ironic, huh?
Exactly, man. I'm not taking you a rest in peace. Hey, man, you go to church. What the? It's a gimmick.
You're coming out about a cash kiss and everything. That's how ironic. The Undertaker is a Christian. That's crazy.
Yeah, you can't be doing that stuff. But that's a gimmick, and that's it. You know, he's like, oh, it's work and stuff.
Yeah,
so like, all right. Yeah. But Stone Cold, no kneecaps. Just busted kneecaps. He had kneecaps, just busted kneecaps.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, other than that, if there's any last words or anything, I'm the director, and any last word, Blardock?
Everybody be healthy, be safe, take care of each other, take care of your mental.
Yeah, don't do the stunner, because you can bust out your kneecaps. Don't do this tombstone, or you'll have no kneecaps.
Yes.
And if you fall off a Hell in a Cell,
you'll be fine.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Mick Foley was getting up. Yeah. But I can still do it. That dude fell off of Hell in a Cell, then got back up again, then went through the cell, and it's like,
And even got thrown on some thumbtacks.
The thumbtack, that's even, it's like, dude, what are you trying to
do? Like, what are you just trying to die in the ring?
He's trying to die in the ring, but he's failing at it. And it's like, I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
your God is not letting you die. He's not. Your time is not up.
Nope. Yeah, he's literally looking death in the face.
Yeah.
Like, death is like, you know what? I can't do nothing right now. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to live through it.
Death is seeing all of this stuff, and he's like, I didn't get the okay to go and take your life, so you're going to be feeling some pain.
Exactly. I'm just going to be sitting here watching.
Yeah.
You know, until it's about that time, but now ain't that time.
I don't know about you, but your time is a couple more years or so. So you doing all this, man. I hope you're all right.
I'm trying to sit here and watch you on TV, and you keep knocking on my door.
Yeah. Death is now entering the door. He's like, I'm ready to go. And Death is like, you're not on my agenda.
Death is treating Mick Foley like the Jehovah's Witness.
You can keep on knocking. Hello.
Yeah.
Death is the one that turns his lights off.
He's trying to look through the blinds. I'm not answering that door yet. Hopefully you go away.
Go away.
Oh man.
I know what I got. I have my list.
Yes, I got my list and my time and date.
You're not on the list.
Yes. Not on the list yet. So I don't know when, but Come back another time.
Come back when you're on the list and stuff. Right now, you're just going to have complication for many years. That's your fault.
Exactly.
Not mine.
Yes.
He's like getting like a phone call, and he's like always going to like straight to voicemail.
Exactly.
He's leaving messages for death.
Yep.
Hey, I fell off the sale and I went through everything. Do you think it was that time? Death is probably answering. Man, I'm tired. Yeah. He's not dying.
Like, man, yeah, he's just listening to the voicemails. Yeah, he got his name next to a Mick Foley spam a scam likely.
Yeah.
He's not picking up that phone call.
Death be trying to go to like the Starbucks, and then like Mick Foley can like, hey, and he'd be like dipping and dodging, like, oh no, 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 no.
Oh man. Oh, that is funny. Oh, God.
It should be a match, you know, with Vince McMahon if he was still around. That's a match. Vince, yep. That's a match. Yep. Death versus Mick Foley. All he wants to do is die. But Death did not let him happen. WrestleMania.
Oh man.
It'll be in the Hell in the Cell.
Yep, it'll be Hell in the Cell. Mick Foley faces death.
But knowing Vince, he'll do it.
Oh yeah, he would have definitely done that. That'd have been a perfect storyline for Mick Foley.
Exactly. Alright then. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Alright, peace out.